The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
We begin the show today, as we do on most days, with a song parody. So, shout out to the, well, bots at YouTube who might want to copyright violate me, because this is not the song. This is a parody of a Neil Young song, as done by Patrick Fitzgerald. Now listen to Orange Buffoon.
Come a little bit closer, hear what he has to say. Just like children sleeping, democracy might slip away. You hear his hatred rising, just as his intellect declines. With every foe defeated, we can see they've lost their spine.
She endorsed me. You must really hate. It's a shame.
Because he almost overthrew. I need to see you vote again. Because we nearly had a coup from this orange buffoon. Though he is a traitor, courts might just let us down. This day, one dictator will be grasping for a crown.
I'm gonna be a dictator for one day. We're going to do two things. The border, we're going to make it so tight you can't get
in. But now it's getting late, and this fire, it needs a spark. We can't afford to wait. It's time for Brandon. Because he almost overthrew. I need to see you vote again. Because we nearly had a coup from this orange buffoon.
With a great parody of Harvest Moon, one of my favorite Neil Young songs. And of course, I'm a huge Neil Young fan. So, and I don't know if Patrick was playing the guitar on that one, or he just got a very real sounding like karaoke track or something, but that was pretty damn good. Harvest Moon. You know, I have a hard time when somebody is parodying a great song, but that was a good one, right? Patrick Fitzgerald, everyone. All right, so we're having a do-over today. If you were here last Wednesday, you might recall that I kept glancing over at the Zoom computer waiting for Brian Karam to show up. Well, what happened was he told us, or he told me, I speak in the royal we occasionally, that, you know, he said, oh, that should be fine to do the show last Wednesday. He said, I got pool duty that day. Not that kind of pool duty. And he said, I should be on the tarmac at LAX. And it shouldn't be a problem. I should be able to jump on with you, no problem. So the hour goes by and no Brian Karam. And when the show ended, I just shot him a quick message. I said, was it something I said? And he said, no, he said, the Secret Service just let us through. So the Secret Service held him up, which I guess if you're Brian Karam makes sense. So anyway, we're going to try it again today. So Brian Karam should be joining us anytime now. I told him whenever, you know, just pop in and I'll see you're there and I'll bring you up. So, but I want to start with a couple of things. One is, well, I'm going to hold off on that one. Let me just tell you, I don't often do the this day in history thing, except I am going to today because, oh my goodness, do you have any idea what January 30th is? Today is a pretty momentous day. So starting with, on this day in 1933, I just reported, I didn't make it up, Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. Just saying. In 1948, on January 30th, Gandhi was shot and killed. So a lot of blows to, you know, humanity and doing good to people. In 1968, the Tet Offensive began during the Vietnam War as the North Vietnamese launched surprise attacks against the South Vietnamese. All right, I told you, January 30th, weird day. So what happened in 1969? The Beatles rooftop concert at Apple headquarters in London would be their last public appearance or public performance, actually. And it spawned. We saw the movie that came out now a couple of years ago, right? It was during the pandemic. I think they called it Get Back, which was brilliant. I don't know if it's still available. It was on Disney Plus for whatever reason. I don't know if it's still available, but today would be a good day to watch it. In 1972, January 30th, was the day known as Bloody Sunday, right? British soldiers in Northern Ireland, Bloody Sunday. And then it was this day in 2020, 4 years ago, that health officials reported the first known case in which this new, or as they were calling it then, this novel coronavirus was spread from one person to another in the United States. January 30th, who knew? You may not want to walk outside today, just saying. Strange day in history. I guess I should do these, look at this day in history more often because, this was an interesting one, right? The pandemic really got here off up and running four years ago today. Okay, so put that aside. There's something that I stumbled upon yesterday online, and all I could think was, well, it's about damn time. So here's one tweet that I saw, And this one was, or shit, you know, as the case may be. This one was from Mehdi Hasan, the now former MSNBC host, who tweets out, "This is brilliant," in capital letters. Wait, hold on. Do I have that here? Can I bring up the, yeah, I can. I'll bring up the tweet. So actually you can see what he wrote. He said, "This is brilliant. If only we had more of this on American television. Who is this guy? More of this, please, U.S. media colleagues." Well, Mehdi Hasan, how fucking lazy are you? Let me finish. He writes, "Watch the GOP congresswoman flail, deflect, and gaslight when confronted by an interviewer who has done his homework and doesn't just move on." Well, you know, Mehdi, I call him that, Mehdi, it wouldn't be difficult to find out who that journalist is rather than call him the interviewer and ask, "Who is this guy?" His name is Jim DeFede, and I worked very closely with Jim DeFede in South Florida some years ago. It was with Jim DeFede that I got back into radio after I quit for a while. Jim DeFede is a very respected newsman in South Florida who used to work at the Miami Herald. Long story that I'm not going to go into. But in fact, if you've listened to this show regularly, you would know that Jim DeFede was my last guest from Florida. And in fact, I will probably have to run that interview as part of the week of interviews that I'm, you know, going to rerun when my daughter is in town. But so anyway, what Mehdi Hasan had tweeted was also tweeted out by everywhere I turned on the shitter. Last night, all I could find, I mean, I kept seeing everybody tweeting out this video and saying, "More of this, please." So let me share with you my friend and former colleague, Jim DeFede, speaking on his show that airs every Sunday morning in South Florida on CBS4. It's the CBS owned and operated station in Miami. It's called Facing South Florida with Jim DeFede. And his guest was Republican Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar of Miami. Okay, ready?
"Last month, you were at FIU and you presented a check for $650,000 to help small businesses at FIU. But you voted against the bill that gave the money that you then signed a check for and handed and had a photo op, the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023, right? You voted against that bill."
"Right.
I right now, you have to give me more details, but I do know that every time I have an opportunity to bring money to my constituents,
God,
I do so. I just did $400,000. But look,
well,
let's
go. But you voted against the Chips and Science Act, right?"
"Yes."
"Listen, I need to ask my staff. But what are we looking at? The $40 million that I have brought to this community.
No,
aren't you proud of me? Aren't you proud of the $40 million that I brought?
But how
aren't you
much?
Proud that I wrote the Dignity Act? Haven't I? Let's talk about the America's Act.
Wait a second. Let me, 1 second.
Tell me.
The money that you talk about, the $40 million that you bring back to the district, sometimes that money comes from bills that you voted against. You voted against the CHIPS Act, and yet you praise the fact that the South Florida Climate Resilience Tech Hub is going to be started in Miami. Right? You voted against the infrastructure bill, and you talk about all the money that comes back to the airport. So at the same time that you're taking credit for the money that you bring back to the district, in Washington, you're voting against these projects on party line votes."
"Listen, I think last cycle. I cannot really remember right now, but just look. Let's look at the America's
That's
Act,
pathetic.
Which is what I'm going to. Which is
so
what
you don't
I like.
You don't want to explain why
I,
you
I
vote
really
against
cannot, I mean, right now, and I'm not trying to be a politician. There's so many bills that I've introduced that I know that
no,
many
these are
of
bills
them
that you
I
voted
mean,
against.
That I understand,
God.
And but it's okay. Sometimes
these are significant
I vote
bills.
And sometimes I don't. But let's look at the positive. Let's look at the $40 million that I brought, and let's look at the."
You see, okay, and that's where the clip cuts off. Now, I do have the full episode, and I will link to, I already, I shitted it out and put it on the other social medias, but that the unnamed journalist who Mehdi Hasan says is brilliant and says, who is this guy? We need more of the people like this interviewer, Mehdi. It's not difficult to figure out. His name is Jim DeFede, and he's the best journalist in all of Florida. He's also my friend and former colleague. Again, I worked with him at 940 Winds in Miami. I produced his show. He's been at CBS 4 in Miami for years, and that's the kind of journalism he does. And it took this interview for him to go viral. I guess I should be grateful. And you know, rather than tweet out, who is this guy? This is brilliant. It's really easy to find out. And he's on the shitter at DeFede, D-E-F-E-D-E. So, I think, and again, when I left Florida, Jim was my final guest from Florida because I wanted to thank him and say goodbye because, you know, he and I worked together for years and I adore him. And so I think when I'm out next week, because my daughter's coming to visit, that's one of the interviews that I will share. Now, somebody else who knows good journalism is Brian Karam. He knows how to ask the right questions. He knows how to hold a politician's feet to the fire. And he's here today. So Secret Service is leaving you alone today, huh?
Hey, I get the day off every once in a while, you know?
Every once in a while. Well, it's good to have you here. Yes, it is. Brian Karam, of course, the host of Just Ask the Question at justaskthequestion.com, a columnist at salon.com. Brian Karam, the guy who Trump threw out of the White House and tried to take his press pass, but
Didn't do it, though, did he?
He prevailed. And now you're four eyes. Two pairs of sunglasses because one's
doing
not enough.
John Lennon album cover, but he had three. I only have two.
Oh, okay.
So I got two pairs of sunglasses, and those who understand mind games will know what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Good to see you, Nicole.
Good to see you too, and thank you for coming. So I explained to the listeners we were waiting for you last Wednesday, and the Secret Service just kept you, I don't know, corralled or something.
I ended up doing pool duty for the vice president that day. And so we were on the tarmac at LAX going through all day long. It seemed like going through the, you know, the machines, but we finally got done, but there was just no way to call you from the tarmac.
Gotcha. Hi, Nicole, I'm on the panel. How are you doing?
Oh, well,
you
know, shit happens.
So I apologize for that, but thanks for having me back.
No worries. Well, thank you for being back and let everybody know that you were okay. And you didn't just stand us up, you know.
No, ma'am. I would never do that to you. I respect you far too much.
What's
besides,
so funny,
you're a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. You too. And so the photo that I used for today's show card, because, you know, I enjoy messing with your pictures. I'm wondering if this Secret Service guy was there with you on the tarmac. The guy.
No, I don't reckon. Oh, wait a minute. He was the guy
in the Rose Garden.
That was in the Rose Garden. I've seen him once or twice since then. Pretty nice guy. I like Secret Service guys that wear purple ties. You have to respect that.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that they were allowed. Do they not have a
Secret Service dress code? You're not supposed to dress like Rodney Dangerfield, although it was popular during the Trump years.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. I lost our Chiron with our names on it. This is what I get for going back and forth too often between different screens. You know, it's my producer. I need to fire her and whatever.
Is that you?
That's me. I do it all here. So I'm constantly giving her a tough time. So I don't know if you heard the clip I played as you were coming in. But it went viral yesterday, and I was so excited. I like it when somebody I know gets recognized for their good work. And in this case,
I've seen
DeFede.
It. I love that. Yeah. It's very pointed, very poignant. And the fact is we need to do it quite more often. I'm sorry to say, but we have really fallen down on the job, you know, some say the last 30 years, but I'll say it's been since the consolidation of the industry.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you have fewer and fewer people reporting for more and more outlets and less education and experience before they get out there. Like I said, it used to be you have to have 10 years of experience before you could even hope to be in the White House. Now you're coming into the White House straight out of college. When I first came out of college, they told me I had to have 5 years experience in the lower markets somewhere before I could go anywhere else. By the time I had the experience, they tell me, you don't need it. So it's the business has changed dramatically. It's not like it used to be.
No, well, that's the understatement of the year. No, and I regularly place blame. I can point my finger right back to 1996 and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it goes, but Bill Clinton was part of it. In the book, I talk about the Telecommunications Act. But before that, it began under Ronald Reagan. Well, you could actually say it started under Nixon, but he was unsuccessful. It was Roger Ailes and then, of course, Ronald Reagan working together that got us where we are as far as news. You know, you have Sinclair buying out every station they can and every newspaper they can, carving them out. They're shells of what they used to be. And they all just publish the same propaganda. So that's the same as many of the newspapers that were the one I worked for. Courier Journal is now just a pale shadow of its former self. It's owned by Gannett. So it's all the way, it's industry wide.
And that's when there are local newspapers in individual markets, because they're disappearing. You know, in South Florida, I was bitching about the quality or lack thereof of the Miami Herald, how it's gone down. It turned into a pamphlet over the years. The same thing with the Sun Sentinel. But then I realized at least there's two, maybe three reporters still employed down there, unlike in so many other cities and towns across the country that have no local media anymore.
Well, and they don't have, yeah. Well, the Courier Journal is owned by Gannett. So everything you read in the Courier Journal, you can read in any other Gannett rag across
or USA Today. That's all they need, right?
That's it. And so it's, fewer and fewer reporters are covering more and more of the news and being paid less and less. It's the destruction of journalism by the many. It's all about the money, man. Those who have are definitely getting rid of those who don't. It's like George Carlin said, the rich get all the benefits and pay no taxes. Mm-hmm. The middle class pays all the taxes, get no benefits. And the poor's just there to scare the middle class. So that's where we are.
it's sad, but it's true. And it often is. Things that are true tend to be pretty sad. But here we are. And so, you know, it's the consolidation in the media, but it's not only the media, it's every aspect of our lives.
Entertainment, sports. Come on, the National Flag Football League is a pale shadow of its former self.
Right.
Entertainment, if it isn't a comic book movie, chances are it can't get made. So, yeah, real independence in thought and critical thinking and entertainment outside. Good Lord, don't get me started on pop music. But
you know what? There's like three labels now. Yeah. There used to be, we would bitch that it was such a small universe where somebody could get their music heard, and you're a musician. Now
there is that rumor.
there was the music industry got so consolidated that there's basically Universal Music Group and Sony Music Group and BMG, and that's it, right? So
yeah, the Beatles would never be discovered today unless they put together their own stuff and put it out on YouTube,
right? Or YouTube or Bandcamp, in which case they'd get paid, pennies. You get a million downloads and you get a royalty check for 25 cents. That's sort of where we are now. And it cuts across everything. But occasionally, a bit of brilliance shines through. And I was so glad to see Jim DeFede get recognized.
Well, he's local. That is a testament to the fact that there is still local reporting. Mm-hmm. The fact that he has experience, he's still there and knows how to do his job. Whereas when they put you in the White House or they put you on national news, you're usually inexperienced. They keep you for a while. And then when you're A, too expensive, or B, have been there too long and they can find somebody cheaper, they'll find a reason to get rid of you. So that's it could be for the most minuscule reason. It could be, but it's always about the same thing. Cutting expenses and increasing profits.
Always. Yeah. And now we're told, well, we're living in the gig economy now. That just means we all work our asses off and have to beg for dollars,
Well, see, and you, Nicole, that is an excellent point, because that is exactly where people don't understand that Donald Trump has been most effective. You have people that have, look, there was a time, and the MAGAs mistake this and put a racist tint to it, but there was a time when one member of the household could work and afford, you know, and that was all that had to work, and you could afford your home and your kids in school and take and sending them to college. Now both parents are working plus having side hustles, and you're still starving from paycheck to paycheck.
That's right.
What the MAGAs don't understand is this has nothing to do with the good old days. It has to do with the fact that the people that you voted for have conned you and destroyed you. And but they look to the very people who have destroyed them to you know, lift them up. And that's not going to, they're not going to rescue you. They're going to continue to con you. So the day that Donald Trump gets $83 million settle, you know, judgment against him, he's 5 minutes later on his, you know, sending out an email going, see what they're doing to me. You got to stand up and help me because I'm helping you.
Right.
And they buy it. Because they've been alienated for 40 years.
Right. No. And the thing is, Donald Trump will cynically fundraise off of every, you know, every indictment, every felony charge, every fine levied against him. And he uses it to con his low information sycophants into sending him more money. He started his whole thing by telling you that he's really, really, really rich and he doesn't need your money.
Hey, Nicole, they're telling you that it's really, really dangerous on the border. It's like a war zone, right?
Yes.
But by the way, we're not going to solve it until we get back in office.
That's right.
That's how dangerous it really is. It's all a game. They're gaming you. And people fall for it. Now, look, I worked on the border. I put together a 10-part series in 86 called Across the Broken Border, which is what Biden's referring to it now. That was 37 years ago. It hasn't changed. This has always been that way. And the fact of the matter is both parties are to blame for it. Here's one guy who's actually saying, look, bring me a bipartisan bill. I'll sign it. And there are people on both sides who want it. And you got Donald Trump saying, no, don't solve it. I'm not in. I want to campaign on it. And so therefore you have Kristi Noem from South Dakota riding in a grass boat on the border saying, it's a war zone. It's a war zone. Horse hockey. I've been to war zones. Nobody shot at her that day. I didn't once hear an air raid siren and have to dive for cover on the southern border. Screw that. It's not any worse than it's ever been. But you've got Trump, who owns this party. Make no mistake of it. When they go to Milwaukee, if the Republicans rebrand themselves the MAGA Party, I would not be surprised.
Oh, no.
If that's the new name, MAGA in Milwaukee, I'm sure that's on the agenda, could happen. Donald Trump owns it. Everyone else that has independent thought is out of it. They're a minority. They want to bully. Don't fall for it.
Right. And, you know, you just look at what he did this week. So he's so there's one.
Do I have to again?
I know. I'm sorry. There's one candidate still standing going, you know, against him, such as she is. And he tells people, if you donate to Nikki Haley, you are not welcome in MAGA land. You're a traitor. You're not welcome here. You can't be part of our party. That is, it's just so un-American. And they don't see
totally
the irony
Republican.
In it. It's completely Republican. It is un-American.
Which makes it American.
Right? It's just, it's surreal. And you know, all you need is Ted Cruz, you know, is convening a committee on un-American activities or something, because he looks just like McCarthy. It's a visual.
Well, the
thing.
Whole party acts like it. So,
they do.
I mean, the idea that you would call yourself a Christian and then throw out the least of your brother tells you that, you know, you've never read Matthew 7:12 or anything else in the Bible. So, you know, I got nothing to say to you.
Right. Well, I haven't, because I just don't go there.
Whatsoever you do to the least of my brother, that you do unto me.
All right.
Is basically that's the golden rule. That's the idea. You treat those, you know, it doesn't matter who they are. You treat them as your brother. But the MAGA party has convinced millions of poorer people to treat those poorer than them with less respect and call themselves Christians in doing it. And that is probably one of the most disturbing things that you could ever find among people who call themselves Christian?
Well, that's, you know, there are so many questions around the people who call themselves Christian. This, you know, they revere Donald Trump. He was sent from God. Really? A rapist, a con man, adulterer, criminal. You know, and this is who the evangelical community glommed onto. He's their guy. He's their God-sent leader. It's like, in what world does that make sense? Unless it's the furthermore batshit crazy thing of, you know, send the Jews back to Israel so we can all be raptured.
Yeah, well, if they're going to do that, then I would say Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled, which is the corollary to Matthew, I'm sorry, 25, which I said 7:12. I mistakenly said it's Matthew 25:37-40. But those are all the ones where, you know, this, you know, the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus that they worship are two different Jesuses. So, I mean, right. One of them is like, take care of the poor. I'm hanging out with, you know, I'm hanging out with the poor and the destitute. And this rich Jesus who wants to kick everybody in the nuts and send them back across the border where they belong because they ain't good white folk. So, right. You know, you've got your choice of Jesuses there. I choose the one from the Bible.
The blonde, blue-eyed Jesus, right? Because,
Well, Jesus probably looked more like me and was probably darker. I mean, dark hair. You know, he's got the swarthy tan. All the chicks dig him.
Of course, because he looked like Jesus from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Get long hair.
He looks like
Jesus.
Right.
I want to go out with him.
That Jesus, not that Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
This is the world we live in. It's surreal. If we hadn't lived through the last few years, by the way, do you know what today is the fourth anniversary of?
No, but tell me.
First, health officials reported the first known case in which this novel coronavirus was spread from one person to another in the United States.
Well, I that's a good thing to remember, I guess. But January I was there 30th. In the White House when I was there in the White House the day that the president told us to, you know, open up a vein, pour in Clorox, and I guess bleach our bungholes, and we'd all be much better off. So misinformation on COVID has been, I'm glad to hear that's a fact you can't really deny, right? It happened here, it happened that day.
But January 30th, I never thought of today as a date of any, you know, significance historically. Do you know what else happened on this day?
No.
In 1933, Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. In 1948, Gandhi was assassinated. There's like a theme here. It's like the end of humanity. It's the anniversary of Bloody Sunday.
Let's avoid this end of January now on.
Right, January 30th. I never thought the day, and I never look at this day in history, and today
it
pops up.
That's like the first day that someone died of corona?
No, the first day that a health official reported the first known case in which somebody in the U.S. transmitted COVID to another person.
I might dispute that because it was 2019. Yeah. Well, maybe it was. All right. It was December of 20. Maybe it was because December of 2019 was when we had the first talk. We first spoke about the coronavirus.
Right. That's
and
why
I remember
COVID-19.
That because I was sitting next to it was the Chinese delegation was in D.C. and I was sitting next to a reporter from the Wu-Tang Clan. The Wuhan province. And I kept talking to him and go, what is that? Like the Wu-Tang Clan? What's going on? And then we were told that was ground zero was with Wuhan province. And I'm going, geez. But I'll tell you this. I followed my P's and Q's. I have gotten vaccinated every time.
Me too.
And neither myself nor my wife have ever experienced COVID.
Us so, either. You know, same thing. My husband and I, we've been.
Now, I think
diligent.
I got it from that Wu-Tang Clan guy. Because I did get sick, and there was about 10 of us in the White House press corps got sick after that. And I felt like crap, but they tested me for antibodies, and I didn't have them. So I don't know.
If you
all
did
I know
have
is
it.
I've never had it since.
Right.
And they would test us every time we went to the White House.
Oh, God. And that. So now what happens in the White House now? Are COVID precautions just gone? Because I know a lot of people
they
are getting COVID,
the COVID
now.
We don't test anymore. We haven't tested for a while. We're not required to wear masks. And we're back to, you know, like situation normal, all fouled up. It's just another rigged up beyond all reason. More FUBAR at the White House, but at least we don't have to deal with COVID.
Well, but you might have to, because COVID, you know,
yeah,
what, as
yes,
much as
yes.
we'd like, look,
right,
I liken COVID to Donald Trump. Just because you don't think about it, you don't talk about it, doesn't mean it goes away. It's like that virus that keeps coming back. And so, yeah. So here we are. So this week was an eventful week. We got the E. Jean Carroll second defamation case, and the jury deliberated for a whopping 3 hours.
Two and a half,
under 3 hours, right? Because
to
it was
remind
a Friday.
Everybody, though, that, you know, you say that and they go, oh, wow, they had the 2.5, 3 hours. That must have been, no, here's how it really went down. It takes an hour to get in that room, have all the precautions and rules read to you,
right.
Agree on what you want soda, you want this, what are you going to do? All right, this is so-and-so, here's the background. It takes an hour
sure.
for that.
Right.
And then it takes, once you've decided what you're going to do, it takes another half hour, 45 minutes to get the paperwork signed before you can get out there and report your findings.
That's right.
So
now that said,
basically
they didn't have to determine
the most they discussed.
Guilt.
It was the most they discussed. This was about an hour.
Right.
And based on everything that happened in court by Donald Trump and that attorney of his, they said, wow, this is easy. Open and shut. We're out. And by the way, they went after him harder than if Trump had kept his mouth shut and his attorney kept his mouth shut. They might have gotten dinged for $10 million.
That's right.
But he wouldn't shut up, and he got dinged for $83 million, and he still hasn't shut up. And by the way, he's got to face maybe losing $370 million or more.
That's still to come
in New York.
By the end of this week.
And the last time we heard testimony about his liquidity, because he sold one piece of property, I think it was one of his hotels, he's liquid to the tune of maybe $450 or $500 million.
So he says.
So after this $83 million settlement and the one in New York, he's probably done. At that point in time, he's got to call, you know, the bankruptcy lawyers again, and he won't pay them.
No. And they probably won't take his case because he knows that he stiffed them last time.
Elena Hobbit will probably file for him, or he'll get a law clerk fresh out of school.
Oh,
he's
God.
Down to that.
Yeah. And meanwhile, so, and then the cases keep coming. Something
well,
we should
know
about.
They're not going anywhere. They're only going to add up. I mean, I remember Dr. Ronnie coming out in Jackson, coming out in the briefing room and telling us that Donald Trump was so healthy, he'd live to be 200 years old.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, if that is actually the case, and he does,
oh God,
he will spend every day of his life in court, because these are not going anywhere.
No.
And they're only going to get more involved and deeper. And while we've been talking in Georgia, the prosecutor settled his divorce case.
Oh,
so
he?
Those hearings won't come into play in the Georgia case, and the Georgia case is on. So Donald Trump's got, you know, he's got to face the Piper, and the fact that he has to the tune of 83 million. Just sit on that for a second. How many people make that much in a lifetime? That's more than an entire team in the NBA makes. Hell, that's probably more than an entire team payroll on most NFL teams.
Is it?
You know, per annum. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's paying 83. I know it is in the NBA, and we know it will be in the USFL, but I mean, the annual payroll for those teams are not as much as he's going to have to. And look, he's for those that say, oh, he'll appeal it. Fine.
He can't. He's got to put up the money in order to appeal it.
He can appeal it if he puts up $83 million in cash, or he gets a bond, and he's going to have to find a bank that will loan him that money. And so he's going to have to put up some of the money
That's right.
as a bond. So he's He's screwed, blued, and tattooed there.
Yeah, he is, no matter how you look at it. And yet, so what accounts?
Look at him, but yeah.
I get it. But what accounts for the masses? I mean, I keep seeing the people interviewed at these Trump events, which, granted, the numbers are shrinking. We've seen that the arenas are roped off, you know, walled off halfway, and they're still a majority of empty seats visible. But there are those people who, there was one I saw this morning on some news program saying, there's nothing you could say to make me believe that Joe Biden won that last election.
Well, there's nothing that can be said that would make me believe that such a person is capable of cogent thought.
Right.
So I don't know how to approach those people. Those people have, you know, as I think it was Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool someone than convince them they've been fooled.
Well, that's
true. And those, there are people that are still adhering to Donald and will till his last breath or theirs. Mazel tov to them. The rest of us live in reality. And I'm tired of the last 8 years having to function, effectively function, because reacting to the reality built inside of Donald Trump's empty noggin, whose only only reason for existence is to feather his own nest. And he's incredibly unsuccessful at doing that.
Well, yes. And I want to ask you about the sores on his hand, but hold on for a second, because
I had nothing to do with them. And I'm sure they weren't calluses, you know, because he was rubbing one out. But I have no idea what they were for.
Come on, man.
My husband is here. So David Sloan, meet Brian Karam. He's got
David.
He likes Brian. He's a fan.
First of all, if Trump was rubbing one out, he would only have blisters on his fingers, to quote John Lennon from the White Album, not on his palm. The Golden State Warriors payroll this year is over $200 million.
Yeah, all right, Golden State Warriors. Thank you.
And the parable of the sheep and goats that you quoted from begins with the Lord separating people. So it further reinforces the fact that Trump is in fact God.
Oh, good Lord in heaven. No, he's not God. I'll go back to Luke 14:23 on that.
But you know,
thank you for the Golden State Warriors.
But he spent years as an agent representing baseball players, so I knew he would know the payroll numbers. I used to think this was a gaffe, but now I know that it was absolutely 100% exactly what he meant.
I love the poorly educated.
He loves the poorly educated because they're the ones who will believe his bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that was a gaffe at all. I think he really means it. So what are you looking at? Is there breaking news or something?
I was looking at the breaking on what happened in with the case in Georgia.
So what did happen? So the Fannie Willis, who seemed to have everything going for her, once again, you know, people are so led around by whatever, either the dick or the vagina. They just can't get enough of it. And they think with the wrong head. And this would, you know what, if she was having an affair with this guy, then she brings on as a prosecutor, stupid judgment call should have no bearing on the case. But that's what this is about. And of course, now you can't make a misstep on any front when you're trying to bring down the former guy. And this was just, what is it called in sports? An unforced error?
Well, okay, we'll use the sports analogy. Yeah, it's not.
I'm the wrong
error.
Person to be doing sports analogies, just so you know.
And,
but
if he's rubbing one out and it's on his palms, that would seem to me that that's a smaller rub than if you had to also get your palm and your fingers. But that's just me.
I gotcha. I don't know if you saw this. There was one of the courtroom sketch artists, and I think this was a Photoshop. But somebody had a picture of Trump and with his hands up, and they were really tiny hands. I'm sure it was Photoshop,
but you know, there's my thing is there's so much to look at before the physical attributes. I'm not wasting my time with that. And I know a lot of people are amused by it. And some of it is amusing. I mean, you can't have a president say you should interact with sunlight and bleach to cure COVID without mentioning his bleached attitude. Yeah. I'll put it that way.
Exactly. Well, exactly. And in fact, I was just looking at a compilation video of, you know, Trump still is talking about Biden's mental acuity. Of all people, for Donald Trump to be spewing that stuff, it's like, look in the mirror, man. Anyway,
well,
I found
that's not going to happen.
No. Can you blame him? Georgia prosecutor in Trump case settles divorce ahead of hearing, yep, where he probably would have been asked about alleged misconduct. What?
Yep.
You only need fingers to hold.
Oh, OK. The lead prosecutor in the election interference case against former guy and his allies settled a contentious divorce dispute, avoiding a hearing scheduled for tomorrow morning that could have included testimony about allegations of an improper relationship between he and Fannie Willis. So now that he settled the divorce, is his ex-wife now, you know, muted? So she's not going to speak out, because I guess this was a woman scorned.
Yeah, well, who knows? That's a good question. All right, I'm going to correct. Your husband's right on the top paid. The lowest paid Orlando is 85. What is it? 85 million?
85
million? No, that was in 2024.
Oh, well, this is 2024.
Yeah. Now, I don't know why it's gone down. From 2023 to 24, it was higher. But now, and then Detroit is at 71 million. So, yeah, okay. But he's right about the Clippers and Golden State. Those are the two most expensive in the league.
Yeah, I'll disagree with him on a lot of things, but when it comes to sports and money, no.
Oh, no, he's right. He was right on the money with Golden State, but I knew it wasn't Golden State that I was looking at. It was another one, and there's like three or four that are lower. But he is right. He's absolutely right on the highest.
Yes.
Philadelphia one time had the lowest payroll at $63 million. But just imagine $83 million, and you're having to pay more than an NBA team. I just... For the love of God, I just don't understand.
You know, and I was watching some of the interviews with Eugene Carroll yesterday, and she is, you know, I heard one of her best friends describe her as eccentric. And yes, she is. She's, you know, but good for her. I started watching the Rachel Maddow interview, and it went off the rails. I just thought, you know, I guess she had been on, Eugene Carroll had been on, I don't know, Today Show or some other show, and they asked her what she was going to do with the money, and she said, I want to do good. I'm going to do, you know, and she, I guess, said some charity stuff. She was going to help survivors of sexual assault or whatever. So she goes on Rachel Maddow, and Rachel starts asking her, and she's like, I'm going to buy you a penthouse. Rachel, you want a penthouse? We're going to go shopping. We're going to get whole new wardrobes. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is a train wreck. And one of the attorneys finally said, that's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, that's
what. Yeah, it was okay.
Wait, yeah. That's a hell of a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you at that point in time, exploding head syndrome took over all over the world.
Right. Especially with this attorney. It's a joke. It wasn't, as I used to say to my daughter, but a joke is supposed to be funny.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And it is to some people.
I guess. Look, if it's Donald Trump being, you know, fined all this money, yes. And again, he is awaiting this verdict that could come, should come this week. In the civil fraud case, they're asking for $370 million and a prohibition against Trump doing business in New York ever again. That, you know,
they'll probably get that.
Yeah, I think they will get that.
And if the last case is any indication, it's probably going to be more money that he's going to have to pay, especially if he goes into court and starts, shooting his mouth off again, which he has done on numerous occasions.
Every time he goes into court. And the thing is, he didn't even have to be there. That's it's not like a criminal case where you have to be there. This was a civil case. He did not have to attend. So this was all his own thing. So, but, you know, back to where we started talking about the media coverage of of everything, of the campaign. And I was so glad to see your most recent column at Salon.com is about the, quote, horse race. I'm so sick of the media covering this election as a, like, it's a horse race. It is not. It's, you know, democracy on the line, and they don't talk about the issues. They don't talk about what each candidate will do should they, you know, remain in the White House or get access back again, they talk about the horse race aspect of it. And you were just filled with the horse race analogies. They were very good.
Yeah, I'm done with the horse race. I've seen too many horse races. I grew up on the backstretch at Churchill Downs. Mm. I've seen horses race wildly and expel solid remains while they're doing so, which is often a useful euphemism for politics in America. But the simple fact of the matter is this is not a horse race. I've seen them. This isn't one. And it's what bothers me is not, you do need to know who's ahead, who's behind, because mm-hmm. that does help, you know, spur some people into action and let them know, hey, if you like this guy, you need to get up and do something about it. Or if, you know, you don't like this guy, you need to get up and do something about it. But the fact of the matter is that we have normalized Donald Trump and our reporting on him is incomplete. And we act as if it's just two regular candidates, two miserably mediocre regular candidates, and not a seditious clown who is trying to subvert the Constitution. And right. Let me remind you that, and here's the disturbing part, Nicole, in a 5-4 decision, 5-4, the Supreme Court backed the federal government in enforcing the law on the border. Mm-hmm. And Texas is still defying a Supreme yes. Court order. Now, mind you, he's using the same theory, the theory of him and the 24 governors owned by Donald Trump, who are making this splash, do not want to solve the problem. They want to campaign on the problem. And mm-hmm. they've said as much. But the thing that is very insidious about this is the fact that it was only a 5-4 decision. And they're using the same logic. These people are using the same logic that the Confederacy did when it seceded from the Union, the compact idea that we engage in a compact. It's a men's club yes. and we want out of the club and to do it ourselves. No, the federal government comes first and then comes the state government. And only by 5-4, should have been a 9-0
That's
vote.
Right.
Did the federal government prevail? And the frightening part about that is there are four justices on the Supreme Court who would vote under certain circumstances, to end the federal government.
Yeah.
Because if they had won that, then the federal government would have no jurisdiction anywhere. And they could, and anytime anyone wanted to push back against federal laws or federal taxes, they could use this particular case to do so. So it would be the dissolution, dissolving of the United States of America. And folks, only by a 5-4 margin are we intact. And so today, before he got on Air Force One, as he was leaving the White House, President Biden, when asked, said, there's nothing more that I can do. Well, all hat, no cattle governor of Texas would love it if he threatened violence. Uh-huh. But by stepping back, it may be that Biden is showing not only more self-control and, of course, probably being more relevant to social issues than the Republicans. He's also diffusing the issues. And by he could just say, all right, fine, it's yours. We're not going to do a damn thing. By the way, we're taking back our money.
Right.
Whatever comes into the state is up to you, pal. I mean, that's
there
what
you
they
go.
Could.
Well, that's the thing. I saw something and I don't know if it was real or not. I tend to think it probably was, where somebody in a Texas secession group on Facebook asked, if we secede, do I still get my Social Security check? The answer to that, sir, would be no, just so you know. And states like Texas and, you know, rattle off all the red states, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, you name it. They get more from the federal government than they pay into the federal government. Sure, secede. Go for it. Let us enjoy in the blue states, you know, all the money that we put into it.
I don't want to see that happen, but here's my take on it is really the I say they're all hat, no cattle. They're not going to succeed.
Of course
from
not.
The end.
Of
There's
course
$100 billion in just in bases invested in Texas.
Right.
15 different, you know, military bases worth $100 billion per year in the Texas economy. Do you really think they're going to secede from the union? No,
this
is all cat and no cattle. And by saying, all right, fine, this is all I can do. he risks, you know, Donald Trump saying he can't do nothing, which he's going to say anyway. He was, you know, he's going to say Biden is ineffective. But what Biden is really doing by saying that is going, all right, I'm calling your bluff. You've got it. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. You invest in it and take care of your border in Texas. Let's see how that works for you, because I can pull the Border Patrol off. I don't have to put anybody anymore at the border. You all can handle
right.
it and just send them to the detention centers. By the way, don't bus them to other states now. It's your responsibility.
That's right.
So they can, you know, that could be what he does. But the simple fact of the matter is that this is all for show. It's all Donald Trump. It's all about trying to scare people into believing that only Donald Trump can cure their ills,
which is just absurd. I you know, I have this thing, this opposite world. I came up with it years ago. Actually, the idea of opposite world came into being when people were talking about George W. Bush as a great president.
Us Superman fans know that is bizarro world.
Okay, but it's
everything you thought you knew. Yeah. You never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
It's just opposite world. Anything you know, it's the opposite of what it is. We live in this alternate reality where nothing makes sense. Trump.
Grounded in facts, I'll tell you that.
Right.
That's the problem. If you can't ground it in vetted facts, then please keep me out of it. And I'll tell you my opinion based on vetted mm-hmm. facts, and I'll label it as an opinion. But don't give me your opinion and tell me it's a fact.
Right.
You know, the fact was I was there. January 6th was an insurrection. It wasn't a mark. You know, it wasn't a walk in the park. Fact, I was there. I watched Donald Trump. He's a piece of shit. Look, you can tell me all you want about that being slanted to the left. But I will say this. When I criticize the far left, never once. They may disagree with me. Mm-hmm. They may call me many names, mm-hmm. but they don't automatically assume that I'm a Trumper.
Right.
But every time a Trumper criticizes me, it's always that I'm a commie, communist, beholden to Biden lover. And
right.
that, my friends, is the difference between appearance and reality. And the reality is they can't, that it's all about appearances. And the real Karens and the real snowflakes are those on the far right who scream the loudest. They're always victims. It's always not their fault. Donald Trump is their chief instigator of that. And remember, he was on the I was there when he said in the Rose Garden, I take no responsibility. And he said that to me on, you know, in answer to a question I mm-hmm. asked. So I'm not at all snowed by Donald Trump, and neither should anyone else.
Well, that neither should, but the reality is, and this is what makes my head explode, is that people think
that's actually a syndrome, Nicole. It's called exploding head syndrome.
I know, I've got it. Thanks to Donald Trump, he made my head explode. And I don't understand how there are so many people in this country. He got 76 million votes in 2020. I just can't understand it. I was going to say Rock, but Elmo stole that word, so I can't use it anymore. It's astounding to me. One last question, because we are running up sure. against the end of the hour. You said now a couple of times you were there. Were you at the Capitol on January 6th?
Yeah, I've written about it extensively.
So you
I
were,
was there. Pardon?
Go ahead. Yeah. So you were actually. So
yeah,
you knew.
You remember the? Well, I was there when they made the speech. To march up to the Capitol.
Right.
Giuliani said trial by combat.
Right.
The president urged them to go. I talked with his supporters as they walked to the Capitol. They said they were doing what the president wanted. I was standing there at the wall when those people climbed up the wall. You've seen those famous pictures of them climbing up the wall. And I said, hey, morons, you know, somebody's going to fall and bust their ass or break their neck. I said, there's steps on either side. You're going to go upstairs. Use them. And then sure enough, someone fell and broke their neck and fell into a shopping cart, I believe,
oh my God.
Broke something. So there were like six or seven of them that came running over to me like they were, I'm warning them. I'm trying to, you know, and they're going to kick my ass. I said, wait a minute, you know, because they hated the media.
Of course.
And I said, wait a minute. I'm
I work
like
for Playboy.
Press. Yeah, I held up my Playboy press pass. I said, I'm with
right.
Playboy.
We talked about this. Oh, then you're
the lead guy said, stop. And he looked over at me. He sniffed my card and he goes, Playboy, can you get me into the mansion? I said, sure, anytime you want. And so they go, all right, nothing to see here, fellas. Let's go back. And they left me alone. So Playboy saved my life on January 6th.
Look at
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And it makes total sense. Complete and total sense. Oh, my God. That's classic. And now Playboy is just, it's a footnote in history.
Yes, it is. It is. See, I was the last guy standing in the editorial department, the last reporter standing, and covered the very beginnings of Biden, and then they were gone. So they've been gone, 2.5-3 years, and there's still a marketing website, and they aggregate some editorial content.
Really?
But we don't generate any editorial content there anymore.
But do you talk to Christy Hefner?
I haven't talked to her in about 3-4 years, but yeah, I have in the past. Very, very kind woman. Very smart.
I hope she's enjoying the money that she
It's not them. They sold it a long time ago, about right after Hugh Hefner died. They sold to or maybe it was before. It may have even been before he died, to a company, a privately held company. And they're the ones that company wrote it into the ground.
Have the money if they sold it. So she hopefully is off enjoying the money, which is what I would do. If I could check out of society right now.
She still runs a First Amendment forum, and I appreciate that. I mean, what she's done for the First Amendment is commendable.
I'm not a prude. Playboy, I think, served a purpose for its time. I think it's kind of an anachronism now, especially with the internet, because if you want naked pictures, they're there. You don't have to go to the
drugstore. You don't need staples in the navel
either. And you can see anything, not just what,
Playboy things that you don't want to see.
That too.
I didn't know the human body could do that.
And there's a home for it on the internet. Hey.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to say, I read it for the interviews.
Well, actually those people that, I was the excuse given for buying Playboy, right? I write the articles, but I got to tell you, the guy who wrote Roots, he first wrote for Playboy, the Playboy interview with, I learned about the civil rights in Playboy. He wrote the Playboy interview with Martin Luther King Jr., I believe, and with Malcolm X, which was, I saw John Wayne's racism firsthand by reading the pages of Playboy.
Oh, Playboy was known for great interviews. Penthouse had the letters.
And fantastic articles. One of the articles that I did for Playboy was an investigative piece on the FAA years ago, and we spent 6 months and probably $500,000 doing it. And so that you don't have that kind of investment in those type of articles anymore. And so it served a great purpose, but as went Playboy, has gone most independent journalism, which goes back to what we were talking about later. Sports Illustrated closed.
Yes, they did.
And they did some good investigative reporting, not to mention that you can now catch all their, the swimsuit edition online. So
of course, but one of the things that brought Sports Illustrated down was one of their last things was putting out some articles written by AI that they attach names to and fake bios and pictures of people that they allegedly were written by and they weren't, and they were busted. Yeah. Journalism.
Journalism.
Ain't it fun? All right. Brian Karam, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I enjoy talking with you. The chat room does as well. So always appreciate your visits.
Thank everybody and thank your husband.
I will. Well, you just did. He's a fan. He's the one who's like, hey, you should call Brian Karam back. It's like, yeah, he wasn't on last week. I'll do that. always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Go visit justaskthequestion.com and listen to Brian's podcast and read him at salon.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. See you next time, Nicole.
Definitely. All right. And that's it for us for today. I'm out of here. And there's the feedback thing. Tomorrow, I'm not sure what we're doing tomorrow yet, but it'll be good. I promise. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great night. Peace out.